Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your sworn enemies about this. This is a show of importance. You are listening to Cocooning from the Microphone here. I am DJ Butterfly East, and on the other side of this phone is the one and only Organic OK.
Hello, everyone. This is comedian Organic OK.
Yeah, that's right. The show is brought to you by him. He's funding all this, this whole expedition, this whole journey that we've been on. I mean it. And the truth is, we are trying to do something. You know, we're going around there on a campaign to basically help the entire planet. That's why everybody should listen. Everybody should be tuning in. Watch it, tuning in right now. I'm not trying to give myself fame and fortune. This is about addressing the problem. And please, don't just listen. Talk. Get involved here. We're on the phone. Call in. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Now, as I must start every single episode, let me begin it with the tale. Oh, wait. I also forgot to plug Maya Harrison. Check her out. She's going on tour. She's doing something, too. I was a resident. I lived in McKinleyville, California. McKinleyville, where horses have the right of way. I lived there basically pretty much my whole life. Born and raised there, I was sure I was going to die there. It was my place. It was my everything. You know, I did everything there was to do there, and I was an average guy. I just got by. I thought I could just stop and smell the roses. I'll just cruise. I'll just coast. I'll just get by. I don't need to be one of those guys who basically finds a career that takes up all their time. You sit and just study and calculate and whatever, and that becomes your whole existence. I don't need to do that. People who do that really happy? You try to learn to love what you're doing, but you become a slave. You're a slave to the money you're trying to make. Now, the truth is... See, I was getting to the point where basically I was, how do I put this? I was basically getting by, whatever, and basically my family wanted me out of the house. I thought I told you this story. Have I told you this story, Organic? They were tired of me. It's not they wanted,
Yes, you have told me this story before, but I think they're coming against the house because you eat so much. They like, you know, they was like, you know, it was like, hey, we're not sure if we can technically maintain this relationship because, you know, we are, you know, kind of in a sense, we're kind of judgmental towards each other. We can't really say that somebody is, you know, sneaking in and eating the food and sneaking out. You know, we kind of want a natural experience. You know, parents, you know, they want a natural experience of, you know, saying that, what I'm doing? I'm talking about your parents. Let me. I gotta say it now. I'm on a roll. No, I don't do that. I'm not gonna do anything like that. You know, we're on a platform of just gossiping. So.
Well, the truth is, my father wanted me to get a job and a place of my own. Now, one thing I know about McKinleyville is everybody who was born there wants to stay there, and everybody who comes to visit wants to stay there too. There's nothing available.
Don't trick people like that, sir. We're not going to trick people like that. But everybody wants to stay there.
Nothing
was available. I was trying to fly out of McKinleyville personally, and they didn't allow me to fly out. They had all this petitious stories to tell me. Like one guy say, hey, I'm going to tell you this. Don't tell nobody. Go across the field. When we say go across the field, I said, hold on a minute. What's in the field that I should be concerned about? He said, go across that field and go to the actual facility where, you know, hotel, motel, I don't know what the hell it was, because I didn't go over there. That's my point. He said, go over there, sit in the lobby. And I said to myself, I said, why would I sit in the lobby when I don't have a room at this hotel? They will be asking me that. He looked at me with a strange look on his face because then he knew at that point in time I wasn't buying that lie. He was trying to set me up. I'm trying to get a plane ride out of that McKinleyville. I'm just guy would not sell me a ticket. He wouldn't tell me why. But as you were saying, Mr. Feces.
Yeah, as I was saying, look, it's like my parents wanted time to themselves. They've grown to hate each other. But they've grown to hate me, too, and, you know, just decided that I should deal with it. Could have got a laugh. Anywho, as I basically was out of the house with only the clothes on my back and my backpack that wasn't even half full, I wandered out into the woods. I mean, it was a shock. It is a shock when you're first thrown out on the street. You know, you're like, oh, my God, I don't have a place to live now. What's going to happen to me? Can I get by?
Come on now, man. You can watch your neighbors in McKinleyville.
Look, dude, just because they're neighbors doesn't mean they're your brothers. I mean, think about any random person in your neighborhood. Would they just say, you can stay here, you can stay with me, you can stay as long as you need?
Well, think about it, man. You know, you're not telling people what's really going on, man. Because normally what happens in places like that quite often, you have, you know, friends and people you can, you know, sleep on their couch, sleep in the garage, you know, you can do this and do that. Normally in places like that, especially when I'm talking about up there, you know, it's a lot of things that, you know, in places because there's not a lot of people staying there. So it's a lot of things that you would get accessible things based on, you know, who you are and how they would trade you up there. Now, me, people say, what is you doing up there in McKinleyville? Even if you say it, they're like, so say it again. What are you doing up here? What were you up here for? Are you trying to live? Are you trying to live? But you're helping the people that are less fortunate. Man, that's not your problem. Let me get you, like, it was like a back to, you know, free slavery kind of thing. Like, you better get out of here. You want to get out of McKinleyville right away. Don't let that boss you alive distract your feet from running. Get out of here quick before they decide to forget this friendly, you know, conversation of acting like they're sociable. And you must get out of here quick. What do people tell you, man? What do people tend to tell you sometimes? Tell you things that'll help you. Too bougie in the world. You're homeless. You can't be advising me for anything. Okay. That will be the story they be telling. Hey, he said, I can't avoid him for living. He's no more. So be careful in how you go about relationships with people. It's so important, but be careful how people pull you down, too. It's important that people don't, you know, drag you through something that you're not necessarily meant to be going through, because that could be the demise of your life. So, Mr. Feces, as you were saying.
All right. Dang it all. Anywho, basically, when I was out, I basically was walking, you know, up in the woods through the creek.
Walking up in the woods.
Yeah, and lo, I mean, I was just going for a walk. I was still thinking what I was going to do. I thought, maybe I can just keep walking around. Am I going to stay in one place and just beg for money? Now, what's going to happen to me? Dang. And then what happened was, lo and behold, I came across you. You and your whole gang. You were sitting in the woods or whatever, camping out.
You were sitting in the woods. What was I doing? Was me and Paul.
You told me that what you're doing is going around and basically picking up garbage, trying to get homeless people off. You were on a worldwide tour. You were a philanthropist.
Is that right?
And the thing was,
you didn't
join
you. Your native McKinleyville instinct popped out, didn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, you asked me to join you.
Did I not get enough internal cross-contamination in McKinleyville to know? Be careful of who I invite around me? That was like almost like me pulling my hand out of a cross-contaminated toilet bowl and saying the water was clean, but once it came out, it was dirty. Oh, a little too much. Let me back up. as you were saying, I didn't mean to narrate the story in another capacity. That's another conversation, another day. I will talk about that another moment. Everyone, this is Talk Dude. Guess what? This is Talking Dude. This is, one of the things is, this Mr. Feces and Talk Dude need to be on the show together. They tend to always get me separate and try to, they need to be together because they got a combination of information that each other are bringing to the table to allow Talk Dude. Mr. Feces, appreciate your colleague, Mr. Talk Dude. And I'm going to tell Mr. Talk Dude to appreciate Mr. Feces. You know, I'm going to look for y'all to be next week. I'm looking for y'all next week to be on the show together.
Yeah, everybody wants to be appreciated. Everybody. The idea of crossovers make me a little bit uncomfortable, but whatever. You know, what have you. Anywho, as I was saying, he asked me to join him. He basically got me to get down on one knee and touch me on the shoulder with two fingers and said, IW DJ Butterfly Feces. Nah.
No, don't do me like that. I don't pick you on me at all. No dudes get on his knees around me unless he got knee pads on and he's doing some kind of carpentry work. I must have talked to you when you're doing carpentry work, walking past somewhere and doing some buildings and logs. Don't I always say knee with knee, got you on your knee? No. You must have been there. That's why I knocked you back because I docked on you, but I can't do that no more. Hey, you got some kind of ring. Man, I don't got no ring, man. Financial leverage should be buying rings and doing these things. You know how people try to count your pennies? They're going to count the penny wrappers. Before they even count my dollars, because they even, I ain't got no money to be donating to this thing you're talking about, rings and pin stuff. No, I ain't do none of that. Oh, yeah, I just got a little carried away, Mr. Feces. That's what you were saying.
Right. Anywho, I was dubbed the crown DJ Butterfly Feces. I didn't like the name then as I do now, but it stuck. See, he told me this basic little fable here. All right? Now, basically, everybody knows about how the caterpillar spins a little cocoon and climbs into it, and it emerges a butterfly. Because the metaphor...
What's the whole story? Because everybody don't know that whole story, sir. So don't get everybody your organic, recyclable resources. Just make sure you weigh a little bit on that, because people need to get a little bit more invested into that point. You give it away, okay? That's an intellectual property that we must understand how people really need to appreciate you. So this is Comedian Organic, okay? And you're listening to the show. The show is called Recording from the Microphone by DJ Butterfly Feces. And my name is Comedian Organic, okay? Technically, Organic, okay? But, you know, I'm with the comedy on there, comedian, just to let you know that I'm that person, you know, that's what I've been doing, you know. I've been organically being okay. And that's what I'm doing. I know Mr. Fishy is like, come on, let me finish my story. Hey, come on now. We all telling stories.
We were driving basically up north in California. I was like, where to now? And I was told to just stop asking, are we there? And I'm like, look, enjoy the ride, okay? You don't need to know everything. I need to know. Like, I want to know what we're going to do when we get there, whatever. I need to know what to do. I'm trying to be trying to familiarize myself with the local customs. The truth is, where were we at? Agora Hills. I looked around this place. Yeah, now this was an expensive place. I mean, this is one of those places that looked like, okay, you got to be rich to live here. Which meant that the only rich people who weren't living here were going to be really, really poor. Special homeless. And they were. It's 9:45 here on the program. Grant Cacuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only. Please get involved with the call. Call it. We're here. 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709.
You've been telling this story. And for some reason, you always seem to pick me and throw me under so many different types of buses that I'd be wondering, is this here for me to be motivated, encouraging this uniform of what we call experiencing? But it seems like more like you're trying to, are we truly getting to happiness? Are we truly sharing happiness? Or is it something else that we're going to be doing? Everybody, I want you to pay respect to your relatives. Pay respect to yourselves. Pay respect to the desires that you have been rewarded to see and be a part of. You know, and it's, you know, it's people out there that finding out from the ending of the time that they got to spend with someone. I want you to take the time as you can to truly enhance that experience that you had with your relatives, friends, and family members. And make sure that that doesn't end in a miserable relationship that you left with your own misery and not sharing and being too prideful to truly care for the person. And at the end, you will be left with all the problems if you didn't free yourself. Make sense, everybody? So truly free yourself, because at the end, when that person is not here and you're here, that's still something that you have to carry. The other person is not able to carry that any longer. So truly free yourself now instead of unfreeing yourself even more later. Make sense, everyone?
All right, everyone.
You listen to Comedian Organico Canyon. You got the host, DJ Butterfly Feces. And then next week we're going to have that guy, you know, Talk Dude. Not that we're going to say that, but yes, Talk Dude next week, hopefully. What do you think, DJ? You think you'll let him talk next week?
All right. Let's give him a whirl. Yeah. Give him a whirl. Three people on this show. Dang. There we were, Gora Hills. Now, I got to tell you something. The place was dang beautiful. I want to sit back there and take it all in. But I know the more expensive and luxurious a place is, more glamorous, the more expensive it's going to be, the lower they're going to hold their handicapped community. I found some handicapped people there, people who were without means, people who were destitute. Now, I sat down there and rap with them for a little bit. They all basically told me stories about how they used to live out here, but then they got fired. They couldn't find another job. They were thrown out in the street, away like so much damn garbage. Honestly. So, and I came across one guy who was really in bad shape. Him to be the leader of all of them. And this was the guy who was basically sort of the de facto spokesman or whatever. All his teeth were pretty much gone except for one. His gums were all red and purple. He was missing an eye. And his fingernails and toenails were so ridiculously long and yellow and even a little bad, yet somehow this guy tried to keep his spirit up. He had his spirit up more than any of them. And the truth is, this guy was basically, what was he? He just happened to be a bad luck case, a real hard luck case. He told me he was a war veteran. He told me he was a professor at a school. But they threw him out. Now, this broke my heart in a lot of ways. This is a guy who clearly did something or whatever, but somebody deemed him useless and threw him out. I want to do something about that. I want to do something specifically for him. Because I admired his spirit. I wish I could just bottle that. You know, it'd be something if basically homeless people could keep their spirits up, you know. But maybe they don't pity you. They don't give you as much money. They don't give till it hurts. Nobody wants to hurt. No one. It's so messed up. It's the worst thing in the world. I wanted to basically give this man some much-needed help. I wanted to. I wanted to basically help. I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to reach out to this man. He seemed so busted up. I thought about it. I don't know if he could basically come with us and help pick up garbage. But I did know that he could contribute in some way. I listened to Organic. They had a conversation. And he talked about how, even though he was a war vet, serving the military, you know, whatever, the country didn't take care of him like he took care of it. And sometimes that happens. I told him, basically, I'd seen lots of military vets as we were basically traveling the world. It was such a messed up thing. What was I going to do about it? Of course, the first step was picking up garbage. I picked it up. I mean, I stopped mostly, make friends, talk to homeless people, you know, make some community, whatever. But eventually, I had to get back to the problem. I was having to get to the problem of how to get homeless off the streets. Some of them had been there so long, they didn't know how else to live. No way they could man another job, maintain another apartment. You know what I'm talking about. It was messed up. Yeah. What was I going to do about it? I basically had him come with us. You know, as we picked up garbage, I want him to talk to people and understand that there are people like him on the streets right now, and they need to be looked after, helped. You know? I basically wondered if there was a way I could put him and get him into a homeless program. So I tried to do just that. So I tried to do that, just for a minute. I tried to basically get him in some kind of looking for a program that would take him in. And the truth is, what you can imagine, there's a reason he's on the street in the first place. It wasn't working like that. Sometimes you see somebody drowning, some don't want them to be saved. Now, I told him, I've been all over. I've seen some places where they really, really show disrespect to people on the streets. Some of them even conspire to keep them there. But you know what? I've seen worse places than Agora Hills. Anywho, there I was. I was basically trying to pick up garbage and get these people helped. I went to Organic. How are we going to get some help? I basically went to Organic and I said, how do we help these people? I mean, how do we get them out? The government wouldn't pick them off the street. They threw them out here to begin with. This is the guy I should help. He said, dude, I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing you can do. No, man, you believe that, don't you? No, listen, you need to stop basically sitting around here with your I don't know how to do this attitude, okay? What am I supposed to do? No, man, you fight. You fight to get them off the streets. We've done this before. You keep fighting. You keep pushing. I pushed. I pushed and pushed like I was giving birth. finally until then, and then I found a homeless program that would be able to take the old guy in. That was going to be able to kind of give him another time, a second chance. It worked. We had done it. That was for him. In a weird way, I remember wishing that somebody would do something about this homeless problem. I guess we were doing something about it, but we weren't doing enough. What could we do? So then I basically tried to pick up some garbage, some trash. The whole time I remember thinking about that guy, thinking, it's sad how people get thrown out the same way. Cigar Hills wasn't all bad. I'd seen worse places. As I basically remember thinking, what next? I wanted to study the town we go to before we get there so I can learn the customs and whatnot. Some places are just different in general. Or he didn't like me to ask too many questions. That was a problem. See, I used to think that maybe the reason he didn't was, are we doing something we're not supposed to do? Is he afraid I find out what we're doing? I'm not going to want to do it. I don't know. In the end, I kept thinking about that one guy we really helped. The military veteran. The former college professor, the man we got off the streets, who needed as much. We saved a soul. And Agora Hills, well, the property value at least got to go up because that trash was picked up. Dang, this is something. Something is happening. I don't mean to pat myself on the back too much, but you usually get a real sense of something when you save somebody. It would be great if somebody out there would try to help. Please, don't just have to be all doing this all alone. Decide to get involved yourself. Things can be done. Well, truth is, we could do things, big things. We were doing them. I thought, next place I'm going to go to, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to do everything humanly possible, physically possible. I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to give till it hurts. I'm going to basically do all this in our next destination. You just watch. You just wait and see. Well, thank you for listening to Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces here, the one only, accept no substitutions. You can pick up all our shows on the net. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. It's 1-515-605-9709. Check out Maya Harrison. Boy, she got stories. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, and good night.